This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert.
The unique artwork of a UW-Madison professor is being honored with an installation in the newly reopened Renwick Gallery at the Smithsonian American Art Museum. Her exhibit there is called In the Midnight Garden. It's part of a broader show called Wonder.
Jennifer Angus works with pattern, and her medium is insects. Not your usual Wisconsin bugs, but glorious rainforest insects with shimmering colors like beetles and moths and cicadas. And she joins us now in studio. Jennifer, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, for those of us who are not going to be able to make it to this exhibit in Washington, D.C. to see In the Midnight Garden, can you describe it for us? What would we see if we walked in?
Well, you would be surrounded in pink. It is the only gallery that actually has been painted a color other than the standard sort of museum gray. And that's perhaps what draws people's attention first. And so perhaps I should speak about that pink color, because it actually comes from an insect that's called cochineal. It's actually used in the food industry and cosmetic industry to color red, to make things red or pink. So if anyone's wearing lipstick today, they may well have a little bit of bug juice on their lips. And so I used that insect to color the walls. I simply made an extract from it. And then beyond that, upon the pink walls is a pattern that runs around the bottom, sort of as a wainscoting, a kind of diagonal created of cicadas. And then above that, one sees skulls that are comprised of about 400 insects per skull. And then beyond that, there's a kind of starburst or fireworks of insects that swirl around the room. So I really feel that the pattern grounds things, and then as you go higher up the wall, sort of chaos takes over.
And I've read that people have these interesting reactions to this, because at first they're looking at a pattern, but as you get closer, you realize that you're in close proximity with these. These are real insects. These are not prototypes. These are not models. These are insects.
That's true. I think that most people from a distance, they recognize the imagery, and then they get closer and they have that kind of aha moment. And frequently in my exhibitions, I see people walk right up and then they realize what it is and take a step backwards. So you are most definitely surrounded and kind of caught in the whirlwind of these insects.
Well, when did you first get the idea to work with bugs like this? Because your background is pattern and textile.
That's right. My interest comes from research in textiles. In the mid-80s, I was doing research in northern Thailand on tribal minority dress in the area known as the Golden Triangle. And within that region, there are many different ethnic minority groups. And I was essentially photo documenting the traditional dress. And I came across a garment, it's a shawl, and it had a fringe in which the person who made it had strung the green metallic beetle wings. That for me, that was a kind of revelation. First off, you know, I grew up in Canada, which is not dissimilar than Wisconsin, that most insects I knew, other than butterflies, I was not friends with. They were black, brown, bite, sting. And so to know that there were beautiful insects, that was a revelation. And then I appreciated the ingenuity of using what was essentially at hand in place of beads or sequins. And the wonderful thing about the shawl was that when it's worn and the person moves, the wings are so hard that they make a kind of jingling type sound. So it was remarkable. And I found that the more I looked for insects on textiles, they were there. You know, whether it was adorning a headdress or a garment. In fact, the Queen of Thailand wore a dress in which these same green metallic beetle wings adorned the entire dress. Must have been a cocktail dress. There's no way you could sit down on it. And then everybody wanted to have one of these. So there is a tradition of insects and textiles. And so I always say I came to insects from a legit place in the textile world. But of course, pattern is my passion. And eventually I found that I was just more and more interested in the insects. And I went, oh, I'm going to combine my interests. And that's kind of how this was born, simply on a whim. I'm going to put the insects in patterns and let's see what happens.
Well, we're talking right now with Jennifer Angus. She's a professor in the Design Studies Department at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and she's one of nine artists that have been selected to exhibit their work in the reopening of the Smithsonian's Renwick Gallery. This is after a two-year closure for renovation. Record attendance at this exhibit, I hear. People are really being drawn in.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing that I believe they had estimated 200,000 people would attend the exhibition, and now they've upped it to 500,000. And I think one of the most remarkable things for people who are regular museum goers, you're used to seeing signs that say no photography. And at the Renwick, it's in fact, photography is encouraged. There are signs that say that clearly indicate that. So there's been a bit of controversy. So many people are taking pictures, taking selfies. In fact, I discovered that two people had their wedding pictures taken in my installation, which was it was an honor. And then I thought, wow, those are really bizarre pictures.
Well, that explains why I've seen so many. So I went on Flickr actually to look for some pictures. And usually if it's an official exhibit, you don't see anything, but there were a lot of pictures up there. So if anyone's curious, you can check it out online. And I want to ask you a little bit about where you get the insects before we leave the insects. Where do you get them and how do you decide which ones that you want, which ones, because you put this all together with an artist's eye.
Right. Well, the insects come from specimen dealers. Sadly, I'm not out in the jungle collecting them myself.
It would take forever.
It would. That would be a whole nother career. So that's where they come from. They don't come to me ready to go on the wall. I have to do what's known as relaxing them, which is essentially rehydrating them so that then I can move their wings or their legs and pin them into position. They dry and then they stay that way. As far as what insects I choose, when I started this quite some time ago, I would get a thick catalog that was full of Latin names. And so I had to do quite a bit of research. But now with the internet, you can put in a name and most times come up with a picture. But I know for me, the insects as criteria is that they have to be hardy. The insects are reused from exhibition to exhibition. So for the show at the Renwick, there are approximately 200, maybe 300 new insects. All the others have been used again and again. And in fact, the insects making up the skull motif are a weevil. They are the very first insect I ever started using.
A weevil?
Yes. It's called Eupholis bonetti. They are a weevil that comes from Papua New Guinea, and they're so prized by collectors that they've actually been farmed. So those are my oldest insects that have been going for close to 20 years, and that's quite remarkable. That says a lot for their hardiness. Weevils are in the beetle family, and so they have that hard protection. So they have held up well. So that's a criteria. When I first started working, I thought the pattern on their bodies would be important. Now I know that it's how I arrange them, their wings, their legs, and their proximity. That positive and negative space is really what forms the pattern. And I like to use the ones that mimic leaves, and that's a whole family, the leaf mimic. So those are how I select.
Now, I've read that once in a while someone questions you about the lives of the insects, thousands, maybe more, hundreds of thousands, I don't know, that go into a big exhibit like this. But you, it sounds like, see this as an ecological mission as well. How do you answer those concerns?
Well, I honestly, I don't know how you could walk into the exhibition and not question that. And I think it's a fantastic question. And really, that's what I'm hoping to do, is provoke discussion. In the Midnight Garden refers to the doomsday clock. And we all know we're a couple minutes before midnight. And the skulls refer to man's mortality, and which is closely linked to the environment. So we know all the terrible things. The rainforest is being cut down at a tremendous rate. So for those who are upset, I'd say, fantastic. Do something. I'm doing something. I'm getting people to talk about this. And so I see it really as a kind of public service. Some people would disagree that, you know, that it's a kind of, you know, how do you protect the environment if you're taking things from the environment? But the bottom line is that insects are a renewable resource if they have a habitat. And that's the most important thing. If we preserve the habitat, then insects will continue to reproduce at the tremendous amounts that they tend to do. We all heard the thing where if you see one cockroach, there's 100 you're not seeing. That's true for most insect species.
And Jennifer, just quickly before we wrap up, how much longer is the exhibit running?
You have until the first week of May, May 8th, the show will be up.
And will you be putting up anything closer to home here in Wisconsin?
Actually, tonight, if you're in the Appleton area, the opening of An Unnamed Need, Pattern and Beauty in Contemporary Art is opening up at the Riston Galleries at Lawrence University.
Well, perfect. Thanks for telling us, and thank you for coming to the studio.
My pleasure.
That was Jennifer Angus, professor in the Design Studies Department at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She was one of 9 artists who was picked to exhibit her work for the reopening of Smithsonian's Renwick Gallery after a 2-year closure for renovation.
I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.